So Hare Krishna, we are going to start a new chapter today, chapter 14 of Canto 1, titled The Disappearance of Lord Shri Krishna. So before we start the chapter, we'll recite the invocation verses. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiret nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. So just to recap what has been discussed in chapter 13. The first few verses 1 through 8, actually we see Vidura coming back to Hastinapur after his pilgrimage of 30 plus years, and he has learned the science of self from Maitreya Muni, and then he comes back and he's greeted by Yudhishthir Maharaj very warmly, warm welcome, and that's what's happening in first 8 verses. And then verses 9 through 16, we see Yudhishthir Maharaj is, after welcoming Vidura, he's actually asking questions. How was your pilgrimage? What did you do? How did you maintain yourself? And specifically he's asking in verse 11, how is Krishna and how are Dwarkavasis? How are his associates? So this is something linked to chapter 14, because Vidura actually at that time knew that Krishna had departed, but he does not disclose that. So and so does Narad Muni does not also disclose that. So in chapter 17 through 18, Vidura actually then preaching very strongly to Dhritarashtra. That was his purpose of coming back, to reclaim or help Dhritarashtra come out of this family life, of this attachment of being a king. So we see Vidura is actually preaching very strongly to Dhritarashtra. Then Dhritarashtra's eyes finally open and he's convinced of his precarious condition, and then he leaves palace along with Gandhari. Gandhari actually volunteers to go with Dhritarashtra, and so all three, Dhritarashtra, Vidura and Gandhari, actually leave the palace, and Maharaj Yudhishthir is not informed. No one in the palace is informed about this. So next day, when Maharaj Yudhishthir actually does his daily duties of going and paying obeisances to the elders, he does not find them. So he's very anxious and he approaches Sanjaya that, have you seen them? Did they tell you anything? And Sanjaya is also saying that nobody has informed me anything. So while they were discussing this, Narad Muni comes. And Narad Muni then instructs Yudhishthir Maharaj on that, don't lament or don't feel bad or don't feel sad that they have left. It's all arranged by the Lord. And there is only so much protection that you can give. So that is Narad Muni giving instruction to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then we see in the last section of the chapter that Dhritarashtra, how he leaves his body. He is practicing Astanga Yoga and finally he leaves his body. And then Gandhari also joins as a sati and also leaves the body. So in text 50 of this section, Narad Muni gives a hint to Yudhishthir Maharaj that wait until the Lord has departed. You Pandavas should wait until the Lord has departed. That's all he says. Although he knew that the Yadu dynasty had, the destruction of Yadu dynasty had happened and the Lord has already departed. So Vidura and Narad Muni both knew about the Lord's departure, but they did not disclose. Section themes of this verses. Verses 1 through 9 actually from the very beginning we see Maharaj Yudhishthir actually observing all the bad omens, but in the purports Prabhupada is mentioning about what happens when the Lord is present on earth and what happens when the civilization is disconnected from the Lord, absence of the Lord. So that's the theme. And then verses 10 through 21 we see more inauspicious. It's a full description of what Maharaj Yudhishthir observes and how he is disturbed by seeing all these inauspicious omens. Actually, I had the intention of describing this destruction of Yadu dynasty. There's a whole story of how this pastime of how the Yadu dynasty got destructed. It's all arranged by the Lord. And it's described in the 11th canto, but I don't think the time will permit, so I'll just very briefly mention about what happened, very briefly. The few members of Yadu dynasty, like the young members, actually, they tried to make fun of the sages headed by Narad Muni, and they got cursed in return. And because of that curse, this dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, was vanquished or vanished. If we have time, I can later narrate, but it is not so much related to this. And after the destruction of Yadu dynasty is when the Lord actually departs. So he first taking care that no members of the Yadu dynasty are left, and there are particular reasons given in the 11th canto. We won't go in detail, but just the background. So we'll begin with verse 1. Suta uvacha samprastiste dvarakayam jishno bandhu ditikshaya gnatum punya slokasya krishnasya cha vichestitam. Sri Suta Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Shri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. So from the purport, some points. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the purpose of the Lord's descent was already accomplished, was complete. Also again in 11th canto, we see that there is a description of Lord Brahma's prayers, and Bhurijan Prabhu also mentions in his unveiling of lotus feet that Lord Brahma, along with other demigods, had actually invited the Lord for... because there was irreligiousness prominent in the society, so they had invited the Lord that please come and protect and give your association and also re-establish the principles. So that was accomplished by the Lord through the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said Bhagavad Gita, he narrated Bhagavad Gita, and he gave the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and he annihilated all the demons. And also he protected, he gave his association to Pandavas and others who were favorable. So that is also mentioned again in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashchaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samsthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. So after the Lord's mission was complete, why would the Lord be around? So Lord Brahma actually prayed, like he prayed in the beginning of Lord's descent, for Lord to descend, he also prayed to Lord, offering his prayers and saying that you have accomplished your task, now you may go back to your abode if you so desire. So from here, from this verse, there is a purpose of Arjuna going back to Dwarka. If we recall pastime of Arjuna from Mahabharata, that he had taken the vow of going to pilgrimage. He had entered the room of where Yudhishthira Maharaj and Draupadi were there and take the weapon, and he took the vow that no, I have committed a mistake, so I should go for a pilgrimage. So when he was gone for the pilgrimage, he also went to Dwarka during that 1 year, and there he actually had married Subhadra, and he had made friends with the Dwarkavasis, and of course Krishna he wanted to see, his dear friend. So there was a purpose of his going back to Dwarka right now, to see, inquire about how is the Lord doing and how are his friends doing there. And I heard a class from His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj on this one verse, particular verse. Maharaj actually is giving practical application of from this verse itself, that the Pandavas, even though they were established, now they have the kingdom, Maharaj Yudhishthira is the king, but they didn't take it lightly, that, oh, complacent, that, you know, now everything is there. We have won the battle. We have everything at our disposal. We are well settled. But they actually always took shelter of the Lord still, and never gave up that shelter and never acted independent of the Lord. So the thoughts were always immersed in thinking about what is Lord doing, how can we serve the Lord. So Maharaj actually mentions that this is... So when the soul is connected with the Lord and surrendered to the Lord also is obliged to take care of his such surrendered devotees, and he is therefore known as Pranata Karuna. Pranata means surrendered souls, and Karuna means merciful. So he is merciful to the surrendered souls. And Maharaj gives the example of a cow. How the cow is taken care of, if she has an owner, everything is taken care of for her. Like the owner feeds her, makes sure she's fed on time, cleans her and cleans the area she's living around, and puts the water. If she's sick, she's taking care. And we have practical example of Lakshmi Mataji. Actually, she has 4 or 5 cows and she's taking care. The cows are completely happy, totally happy and blissful. They have nothing to worry about. So that's the condition of the surrendered soul, that once one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna actually takes care. That faith has to be, of course, there. Even during that surrender, even if we have challenging circumstances, one should know that since I depend fully on the Lord will protect me. And that protection can be, it's basically we are talking about our spiritual protection. Material protection, of course, will come and go. I mean, we'll have challenging circumstances in our life. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that this place where we are staying is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. So, but the protection we are talking about here is spiritual protection. Then Krishna always takes care of us. So also another thing we see from this verse, Maharaj highlights is, he implied in this verse, if we see the purpose of Arjuna's going to Dwarka, he says he wanted to learn from the Lord of his next activities. So Arjuna was implied in this verse is Arjuna's thoughts that how can I be of service to the Lord? Can I be of service to you in your next pastime, next phase of pastimes? So we have that same opportunity to serve the Lord in any circumstances of life. If we don't have physical facilities to carry out, if we don't have temples or something, it's said, Shravanam, we can always chant. Kirtanam, we can always chant, and we can also remember. Nothing if we can do, we can at least remember Vishnu Smaranam, Krishna's pastime. That is also a service. It's one of the 9 forms of devotional service. So there is no excuse as such to not serve the Lord. Next verse. Vyati haha kati chin masas tada nanya tato Arjuna. Dadarsha gora rupani nimitani kurudvaha. A few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. So this is the beginning of Maharaj Yudhishthira's beginning to observe some inauspicious signs in his kingdom. So from Srila Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada actually begins the purport by describing that how the sun is the source of all material, all productivity and all material energy. So much can be done when the sun is out and with his energy, the sunlight. And similarly, Krishna is actually, Prabhupada mentions this term, ad infinitum. That ad infinitum means he is something which is endless or limitless. So Krishna is actually limitless. He is the source of millions and billions of such suns. And so the comparison is done between the sun and Krishna, that when the sun is present, there is full flood of light. There is no question of darkness in the presence of sun. So similarly, when Krishna is present, there is all paraphernalia, that is, full paraphernalia is available for priest prosperity and religion. And we saw this in chapter, I think, 10 of this canto, that when Krishna's footprints were on the earth, when he was there, everything was so abundant. The cows were giving so much more milk than required. The food grains, the harvest was so much, and everything was flourishing nicely. So when Krishna is present, there can be no inauspiciousness. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj actually is here, seeing inauspicious signs means it indicates that Krishna's absence from the earth. So that is what he is observing. He is observing the discrepancies in his kingdom, beginning to observe some discrepancies in his kingdom. And therefore he is reminded that Narad Muni said, actually throughout all these verses, when he is observing all these signs, in his heart he kind of felt that Krishna is not present, Krishna has departed. But he did not want to actually bring out that point and acknowledge that yes, Krishna is gone, because they were so attached to the Lord. So we'll move on to the next verse, text 3. Kalashya chagatim rodram viparatya sartu dharmina papisasim nirmanam vartam krodha loba anatmatanam. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful. And he saw that they were adopting false means of livelihood. So Prabhupada begins the purport with saying that what is the result of a conditioned soul or the civilization being disconnected from the loving relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we see from the translation, there were seasonal changes. There were, Prabhupada mentions that one season manifests into another season. And we see this, it's very common, we are accustomed to this. So this is like Shastra Chakshu for us, that in one day we see like three seasons going, you know, sometimes it's like morning it is sunny and then all of a sudden it's raining and then it gets very cold. So this is the nature of Kali Yuga, but this was just the beginning. So Maharaj Yudhishthir was observing all this and he was very disturbed because this never happened. Everything was so perfect. And also, when civilization is disconnected from the Supreme Lord, foul means of livelihood, people take up to the foul means of livelihood, means take up illegal means of earning money. And foul means of livelihood means, Prabhupada mentions about prescribed duties and occupational duties, duties actually. People were deviating from their duties. So actually if we see, where does duty come from? Again referring back to Bhagavad Gita, duties come from Vedas. Vedas are given by the Lord. So there is some authority in, so duties are prescribed or given, and that is what people are actually nowadays are not aware, that they have a duty and there is that their duties are to be accepted from a higher authority, from a higher source. It's not whimsical that I can take up any duty. So when one deviates from the duty, means one is deviating from the principles of religiousness. So that was also happening, and people were becoming more greedy and angry. When there is greed, there is always a fight, competition, and anger comes in. So Prabhupada mentions that the root cause of all this is ignorance of such anomalies is ignorance. Thinking, basic ignorance is thinking I am this body and doing everything based on that body, our bodily needs, satisfying the bodily needs. Prabhupada says that this is, people think that thinking that this life is all in all. That's, you know, this is the only chance I have and I should enjoy. I don't want to worry about next life. Who knows? And practically we experience this, and I have, in my relatives only I've seen, you know, mentioned to someone that this would happen if you eat meat. You'll get a body of a cat or a dog. And they said, doesn't matter, let me eat now and enjoy. So, this is, Prabhupada is mentioning about what is actually disconnection from Supreme Personality of Godhead means. Actually, we are not disconnected. It's just that we have forgotten our relationship with the Lord. It looks like we are disconnected from Krishna. So Prabhupada says, we are meant to be connected with the Supreme, just as our hand is meant to be connected to our body. We are part and parcel of the Supreme, just as the hand is part and parcel of the body. When the hand is severed from the body, it is valueless, but when it is joined to the body, it is invaluable. Similarly, in this material condition, we are disconnected from God. Actually, the word disconnected is not precise. Because the connection is always there, God is always supplying all our necessities. Since nothing can exist without Krishna, we cannot be disconnected from him. Rather, it is better to say that we have forgotten that we are connected to Krishna. Because of this forgetfulness, we have entered the criminal department of the universe. The government still takes care of its criminals, but they are legally disconnected from the civilian state. Our disconnection is a result of our engaging in so many nonsensical activities instead of utilizing our senses in the performance of our Krishna conscious duties. This is from Path of Perfection book. So Prabhupada is saying disconnection is not actually, we can never, because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we cannot be disconnected. It's rather we have forgotten our relationship, just like a son may say that I'm disconnected from my parents. That relationship, at least in this life, cannot disconnect. It's just that he can forget his relationship and not act on that relationship. That's what we conditioned souls are doing, that we are not acting on the relationship. But the relationship is always there, and that is actually our only eternal wealth that we have, that we possess, is our relationship with the Lord. So then some practical thing from this is, am I connected with the Lord in my activities? So any time during the day, when whatever we are doing, we can always introspect and see what is my consciousness and what am I doing and why am I doing, who for whom I am doing. If we just introspect like this, then we can trace our consciousness at least to see where we stand and if we are Krishna conscious at that particular moment or not. And Prabhupada, from the purport, Prabhupada says, how to remove the ignorance? Ignorance is the root, is the cause of all these anomalies in human society. And to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we recall, this was one of the questions of the six sages of Namesharanya, the sages of Namesharanya, the six questions that they asked. One of them was, where has religion taken shelter after Krishna departed? And Prabhupada is indirectly here, actually he's giving the answer here that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is where the religion has taken shelter. So we'll move on to the next verse. Jimma prayam vyavaritam satyam mishram chavsudaram pitrim matir sudar pratir dampatinam chakalkanam. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. This is very common nowadays. We are so accustomed to all these things, seeing these things. But during Maharaj Yudhishthira's time again, you know, it was a disturbance for him to see all this happening. So greed and strained relationships. Prabhupada begins the purport by mentioning that the conditioned souls have four defects. Four defects are to become illusion, to commit mistakes, imperfect senses, and cheating. And of the four defects, cheating is the most prominent. That's what Prabhupada mentions. Why is it most prominent? Because Prabhupada says it's because it's the unnatural desire of the conditioned soul to lord it over material nature. Prabhupada says that even if the soul gets to lord it over material nature, which will never happen, but even if he does get to lord it over material nature, he will not be satisfied because it's an unnatural desire for the soul. Our eternal position is, it's not a natural position, just like a fish out of water. Even if it's placed on the most expensive golden plate, it would not be happy. It needs to go back to water. That's its natural position. So for the soul also, doesn't matter what we get and what we do here in this material world, as long as we are disconnected and as long as we are not serving the Lord, it's an unnatural position for us. And like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it's like how much time we will spend in a restroom, you know, in the bathroom. We'll just finish our business and come out. We will not do all our daily activity there. So similarly, this is like a garbage place for us. Just finish our business and get out of it. So the result of such a desire to lord it over material nature is that it will not bring about any satisfaction of the heart. So what is the solution? The solution is only devotional service to the Lord. And we see that that brings about the satisfaction to the self. The verse is Savai Pumsham Parodharma Yatho Bhakti Radokshaje Ahituki Apratihata Yadma Suprasiddhati. That is the eternal occupational is to engage in devotional service, and that devotional service should be uninterrupted and unmotivated. Actually, ahetuki is unmotivated and uninterrupted is apratihata, and that will bring about satisfaction to the soul, and that is the only thing that can bring about satisfaction, because again our nature is jivira swarupai krishnera nitya das. So this is a section, since Prabhupada is mentioning about cheating is the most prominent factor of the four defects. I selected cheating, which is also, we can convert it to hypocrisy. And definition of hypocrisy is given. It's duplicity, pretending to have virtues, morals or principles, etc., that one does not actually have. It involves deception of others, like lying to others. So this is just a cartoon that I found from ISKCON Desire Tree. This is, and then this is another. This is what politicians do. They present themselves something and they are not what they are not, actually. So, this section I have taken about practical application from His Holiness Rumapad Swami, Maharaj's website. Maharaj is discussing the different stages of how to overcome hypocrisy or how to overcome dishonesty. So, stages of being honest and or being truthful. First is to recognize that there are many faults that I have, and you know, where I am not honest. Many circumstances and many ways I am not honest in my dealings with others, or in my practicing of principles, or in my thoughts, in my actions, I am not honest. So just that is the first step, is to recognize. And again to recognize that I have so many faults and undesirable qualities in my heart. I know I have those, and I recognize those. So recognizing both, you know, that I'm not honest and I have unwanted qualities, undesirable qualities. And Maharaj mentions that one should not get stuck when one recognizes these two things. One should not get stuck like in Japa retreat. You know, when we do our 64 rounds, we are told that we will have hills and valleys. So when, say, we are having valley, like bad time, or we are realizing our guilt, that, oh, I didn't chant nicely for so long, for so many years, or, you know, I've been inattentive in my chanting, or so many things. So when we find that, use that as an impetus to move forward, rather than getting stuck and getting discouraged at that point. So similarly here, recognize, but then use it to enlighten, to move forward, to repair the bad qualities, or to get rid of the bad qualities that one has. And particularly we are talking about dishonesty here. And recognize that I can change on the strength of my, recognize that I cannot change on the strength of my own efforts. I need help. I need the help in the form of descending mercy. This is a big step, that, you know, first is to recognize, and then recognizing that it's not like I can do it. I will get up and do 16 rounds, you know. We can make those kind of commitments, but then if that thing is there, that I can do it, where the factor I is there, then, you know, we are done. You know, we will not go far. So with the endeavor, that is also another point in coming verses, the endeavor plus mercy is required. So to sincerely and honestly accept the mercy that is available to me in the form of scriptures, devotee association, service, and strive to live truthfully, and that takes, we have to take the trouble to live truthfully, to change the heart. change is not easy. Anything we have been practicing for so long, and if we are asked to change, it will cause some pain. But we have to take that pain for better. We have to change. So here we have the scriptures, we have devotee association. With that comes the instructions. So what does the change mean? Change means that we should be ready to take the instructions and apply those instructions. So application part is important here, and that is the most difficult, as we all know, when we read, you know, Srila Prabhupada's purport. But then how to apply, are we applying, that is the most important. But that is required for change of heart. And also, get help, associate with devotees who are truthful. So by associating with devotees who have that quality of truthfulness and serving and hearing from them, actually that quality will rub on us. We'll get their blessings and we'll also develop that quality. So that is where, you know, it is said that whatever quality we are lacking, if we find a devotee who has that quality and associate and serve with that devotee, then we will, by their blessings, also develop that quality. And this is the most important, is to cultivate a deep sense of security in our relationship with Krishna and his representatives. This is the biggest support to bring about the change of heart. This is where Maharaj says that one should have a strong relationship, of course, with Krishna. We can have a relationship with Krishna through his representatives. So when we have a deep relationship with the Lord, with his representatives like the spiritual master, a straightforward relationship, then we are comfortable in giving up our pretense. We are comfortable that we will not be judged. If I open my heart to the spiritual master or even to the advanced devotee who is helping us, our Shiksha Gurus, from whom we are taking guidance, if we open our heart to them, because they are pure and they have the right intention to help us, and we know that, you know, we'll feel comfortable when we have a strong relationship, that I will not be judged. They will accept me for who I am. So that is very important, and that will help a lot to let go of our pretense or hypocrisy or dishonesty. So we'll move on to the next verse. Nimitani athyaristani kaletva anugate nirnam lobhadiya dharma prakritim droso nyanchatripadna. In course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Maharaj Yudhishthir, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother. So this has a very small purport, and it's just emphasizing again how Maharaj Yudhishthir is observing all these different omens. So 6 and 7 don't have purports. We'll read the verse. Yudhishthir uvacha sampreshito dwarakayam jishnur bandhu dirikshaya knatum cha punya slokasya krishnasya cha vichesitam. Actually, this verse is repeating. This is the exact same verse as verse 1. The only difference is the first verse says Suta Uvacha and this says Yudhishthir Uvacha. So the translation, Maharaj Yudhishthir said to his younger brother, Bhimsena, I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. So that was the purpose of Arjuna's going to Dwarka. 7. Gata sampaduna masa bhima sena tava nuja nayati kesha chatitur naam vedam adrasa. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. No purport for that also. So text 8. Api devarshina antishta sakaloyam upasita yadatmano agnam akritim bhagavan uchikrishati. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? So here Maharaj Yudhishthir is getting a sense of, he already knows, I mean, he was already informed by Narad Muni, and he's recalling that what Narad Muni had said, that just wait till the Lord is here. So from the purport, Prabhupada is actually explaining this pastime of Krishna's disappearance, which is also known as Mausala Lila. So here we see how Krishna departed. He was actually hit by an arrow. To the arrow hit Krishna's heel, and that was, Krishna used that as a cause to for his departure. So Prabhupada in the purport mentions about how to understand Krishna's pastime, or this disappearance pastime. Krishna is transcendental, so are his activities, his appearance and disappearances. So they are beyond the material realm. We need spiritual intelligence to understand Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam so iti arjuna, that those one who knows the transcendental appearance and nature of transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take his birth again, but returns to my eternal abode. So is that enough, just opening a book and reading the pastimes and knowing, okay, I know now where Krishna took birth, how he played with his friends, his activities, he killed this demon, and how he disappeared. Is that enough to for us to go back to Godhead? So that theoretical knowledge is not enough. What is required is, it is only through love and devotion we can understand Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's activities or Krishna himself. And that is revealed to one who has, of course, one who has love and devotion. Krishna reveals that to such a devotee. Again, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, Krishna says, Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pirti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam mam upayantite, that I give such a surrendered person, such a surrendered devotee, intelligence by which they can come to me, they can understand me. So Purijan Prabhu explains this pastime, this understanding of Krishna's disappearance, very nicely. Prabhu says that, does God actually die? I mean, this is Krishna's disappearing from here, earth, earthly pastime. So like Krishna is unborn, and we say Krishna is born. So how can an unborn be born? So it's one of the most difficult pastime to understand. And because, again, there is a striking parallel between the activities of the Lord and that of the conditioned, so ordinary souls. Like Krishna actually marries. We also have marriages, you know, we marry and then Krishna takes birth, we take birth, Krishna acts, plays the role of a son, husband, friend. So we all have that relationships and all those activities. But then Purijan Prabhu explains, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining this in the 11th canto, that this is like a drama. You know, Krishna is actually acting, and then in that drama the hero dies. And the curtain closes. And then behind the curtain, the hero is actually getting ready for another drama. So Krishna's pastimes are like that. You know, that he is ending his pastime in one place, but he's going to start it in another planet or another universe. So Krishna's pastimes are also compared to that of his son. The sun is set. So it's set here in this place. At this point, we cannot see the sun. But that same sun has risen somewhere else in another part of the world. So same thing is Krishna's ending pastime here, but Krishna is carrying forward his pastime somewhere else. So how to understand when Krishna leaves behind a body, though? When he departs, he is leaving behind a body, and that body is explained that is a material body, and that body is the Virat Roop of the Lord, which is material form or an illusory form of the Lord. And actually Srila Prabhupada mentions that this whole pastime is an illusory pastime of the Lord, and that is just to bewilder the mind of the non-devotees. How this happens? How can Krishna live a body? He doesn't have a body, just like we have a body to live behind. He has a body, but that's a spiritual body. He is same inside and outside, unlike us. We have our soul and we have a body that's separate. So Virata Rupa is the material conception of Krishna. And it's how can Krishna, who is transcendental, have a material conception? So it's a mistaken or illusory conception, which means it's a conceiving of Krishna's form in a wrong way, and that is manifested in the Virata Rupa. And that is arranged, that's Krishna's arrangement to bewilder the minds of non-devotee again. That's therefore, one needs spiritual guidance to understand Krishna and his pastimes. Otherwise, it will be all very bewildering to us. Again, we can see chapter 9, where Bhishmadev shoots arrows to Krishna. Krishna is bleeding, but he's not bleeding. He doesn't have veins like us. So, it's again to bewilder the minds. We'll move on to text 9. Yasmana samprado rajyam dara prana kulam praja asantam pato vijayo lokascha yadanugrahat. From him only all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. So I have actually combined 9, 10 and 11 because they have kind of a common theme, and also looking at the time, so I thought, you know, I'll combine all three together. And I'll just read the translation of 10 and 11. Just see, O man with a tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions and bodily pains, all are very dangerous in themselves, all foreboding danger in the near future by diluting our intelligence. The left side of my body, my thighs, arms and eyes are all quivering again and again. I am having heart palpitations due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. Actually, Maharaj Yudhishthir, they had no fear. The Pandavas had no fear because of their connection with the Lord. Their surrender to souls to the Lord. So they have nothing to fear. But still here he is having fear. He is experiencing, this was very unusual for a Kshatriya to experience a heart palpitations due to fear. So in the purports of all these three verses, Srila Prabhupada is highlighting that, you know, personal endeavor versus endeavor plus mercy of the Lord. Success is not guaranteed when we just do our own personal endeavor. But when we depend on the Lord with the endeavor, success is guaranteed. And again, that success cannot, we don't see it only in material terms, we are seeing this in spiritual terms, that success means our protection of our spiritual life is guaranteed. One cannot counteract the threefold miseries by his own plans, meets with failures every time. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Devi esha guna mai mama mara duyartya mam eva prapadyante mayamitam tarandite, that it's not possible to, it's very difficult to cross beyond this ocean of material existence. It's only possible through my mercy. When you have surrendered to me, you can easily cross beyond this ocean of material existence. So one may make so many plans to mitigate, and we see that people make all kinds of plans that I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go on vacation, I'll earn this much and I'll retire, and so many plans are made, but then all of a sudden they are struck with some disease or something happens and everything is gone. So relief from the threefold miseries only comes, as Krishna says in 7:14, only through his mercy when we have surrendered to him. Undesirable happenings in life cannot be checked by any number of plans. That's the nature of the material world, that it is dukhalayam, asashvatam, it's temporary, asashvatam means temporary, and it's dukha, it's misery, alayam is a place of misery. So the world, the Lord actually sends his bona fide representatives for enlightenment, which save the devotees from all kinds of calamities. We sing every day morning, you know. Prabhupada actually gives this example of if there is a forest fire, nobody actually wants a forest fire, but it still happens. And when the forest fire is happens, no amount of like fire brigades can put off the fire. It requires a cloud full of water, you know, to pour down on the forest, and then it can be extinguished. So similarly, samsara dava nalanidha loka tranaya karunaya gana ganatvam, that we need that mercy from the Krishna's representatives to actually come out of this suffering. No other plan can work. So Prabhupada in the purport says about being grateful, that how Maharaj Yudhishthir was grateful for what they had received. So being grateful, just little practical application is understanding first how to be grateful, how to cultivate that quality of gratefulness, is understanding our first insignificant position, that on our own we are nothing, we cannot do, we are helpless. And then grateful for what we have received from Krishna and his representatives. They are helping us so much. If we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. So understanding that, and then when one is grateful, means one actually follows the instructions one has received. That's how we can actually express our gratefulness, by executing the instructions received. I won't go into the pastime. Prabhupada is actually mentioning in the purport that, you know, without any medical, the doctors have given up sometimes on a patient, and then we see miracles happening, and we have practically Narsimhadev of Mayapur, you know, pastimes. But so from 12 through 21, this set of 10 or 11 verses, it's all no purports, so we can just go and read the translations, because time wise. I'll just read the translation. Just see, O Bhima, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly. So these are, O Bhimsena, tiger amongst men, now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. So this is a picture of what Yudhishthira Maharaj is experiencing. 14. Just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart terrible. It appears that they want to make a void of the whole universe. Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue. The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. So that also we experience nowadays, you know, the weather-wise, tsunamis, drought and tornadoes and all this. The rays of sun are declining and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mines are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen? The calves do not suck the teats of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing, crying, tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing grounds. This is cow crying. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to live. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. Because if we remember, in Queen Kunti's prayer in chapter 8, I think it was verse 39, she was saying that how the earth is blessed to have your footprints. So now there is an absence of Krishna's footprints. So just a summary of what we discussed in verses 1 through 21. Arjuna, we see it begins with Arjuna has gone to Dwarka to see the Lord and inquire from him about his activities, next activities. Maharaj Yudhishthir is beginning to observe inauspicious signs and he's anxious that Arjuna has not returned, and he's also anxious about the well-being of Dwarka Vasis. Maharaj Yudhishthir observed changes in the seasonal regulations. So the symptoms that he's observing, greed, fraud, cheating, strained relations. And then he finally discloses his heart, kind of, has the Lord left, in text 8. And then that's where we understand, or Srila Prabhupada actually explains the disappearance of, how to understand the disappearance of the Lord. Maharaj Yudhishthir then expresses his gratitude towards the Lord's mercy in text 9. And further symptoms of Kali Yuga have been described in from text 10 through 21. So, yeah, that's these are the references. Basically, I heard Burijan Prabhu's classes, and then about hypocrisy I took about from His Holiness Ramapat Swami Maharaj, and then first verse I heard about from His Holiness Sachinandan Swami's class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you so much. Sorry. Yeah.
Questions? So, Madhavi, on the overcoming hypocrisy, can you relate your personal experiences?
I have so much, Prabhu.
No, of how you overcome.